From the studios of NPR West, it's Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Madeline Brand. We're keeping tabs on the stock market today. Worldwide markets plunged for a second day, and the Federal Reserve responded with a big cut in interest rates. In a few minutes, we'll speak with the head of a brokerage firm about what he's telling his fearful clients.
First, though, to the news of the day, and for that, we turn to John Dimsdale of Marketplace. John, the Dow opened today down more than 400, but it's come back since then, somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. That big initial drop was between 3 and 5%, depending on the market. Not as bad as foreign markets over the past couple days. But since then, as you say, they've been clawing their way back and down now only about 1.5%. And it kind of shows that investors might be looking for the positives here. You know, a lot of people still say that the fundamentals of the economy are still basically strong. Unemployment is nowhere near recession levels. And here's another silver lining. The price of oil has dropped below $90. The prospect of a global economic slowdown should ease the tight demand for oil, and that's having a beneficial effect. It should ease inflation fears.
I wonder if this all grows out of this extraordinary move by the Federal Reserve early today before the market opened.
Absolutely. I mean, the Fed said we see more weakness in the economy and risks to growth. But, you know, there hasn't really been any new statistics out that would warrant that analysis other than these significant drops in overseas markets. The Fed's trying to send the signal that it can contain the damage from the housing crisis and the credit crunch as banks and lenders get skittish about lending. Today's interest rate reduction is a big one and one that will make it easier for companies to borrow. It could induce those with loans already to refinance them at lower interest rates. And this is all stuff that markets like Wall Street's been clamoring for lower interest rates for several weeks now. Adding to the impact, of course, is that this came in between meetings for the Fed. They rarely do that. The last time was right after 9/11. There's a meeting next week, but they decided, you know, we should act today.
So 0.75 on a cut. Now, for the last couple of days, the international markets clearly unimpressed with Washington's response to the current economic troubles and the economic stimulus package proposed by President Bush last week. Maybe this interest rate cut is going to make a difference for them. How will you tell?
Well, we're going to get another meeting today between congressional leaders and the White House on a stimulus package. You know, we'll have to see if there's another rate cut at the regular meeting next week. So, you know, it's, as they say, only time will tell.
Well, John, we're going to be following this story all day here at NPR, and I'm sure that Marketplace knows what its lead is going to be today as well.
Absolutely. We'll have all the latest, and we're going to have some recommendations on what investors should do now in the face of this market meltdown.
Thank you, John. John Dimsdale of Public Radio's Daily Business Show, Marketplace, produced by American Public Media.
A lot of investors today are wondering if they should stay in the market or if they should just sell everything. A year ago, last February, when the world stock markets took a similar, smaller dive, we spoke with Jean Rooks. She manages the portfolio for an investment club in Florida. At the time, she told us she was holding firm.
We thought today it would be good to call Jean back and check in and see how things are going. Jean, welcome back to Day to Day. How are things?
Yeah. Yes, a year ago we were holding on, and we did, and we made a nice gain during the year, but unfortunately the last 3 weeks it's gone away. We're dismayed by that, but we're not panicking. We still think that if you're in the market, well, Warren Buffett said it real well. He said if you can't afford to lose 50% of what you got, you don't need to be in the market.
How much money do you think you made on your investments last year, or did you lose money?
Oh, we made money last year. At the end of the year, we had a 13.74 compound annual return, which right now has dropped down to about 4.75 annual return just because of January.
A man named Dan Sullivan, who writes a Market Watch newsletter called The Chartist, said he is getting out right now. He's going to hold everything in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Does that occur to you?
It crossed my mind, but I don't feel like that would be a very good move. Really, to me, that's just locking in your losses, and that if you've got your companies themselves are sound and are necessary. I think right now is a good time to be in your basic consumer necessities if you're not already, because regardless of what happens with the market, people do have to eat and buy stuff at the drugstore and, you know, things like that.
So are your investment club members calling you up and saying?
No, we had our meeting last night.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did. And everybody reported on their individual stocks that they follow. And they all feel pretty much that barring any major problem with a specific company that we hold, you know, we're not going to sell it just because the price is down. That we'll sell it if it looks like the price won't come up anytime real soon and put it somewhere else where it might do better. But we're not just going to sell it because the price has dropped.
You're saying you'll just put it in another stock. You're going to stay in
Correct.
The market.
Exactly. We'll stay invested.
Gene, we're supposed to talk for tomorrow's program to Senator Max Baucus of Montana. He's the chair of the Senate Finance Committee. You know, they're meeting with the president to discuss all kinds of things and try to work on this economic stimulus package. Do you think that there's something worth talking to this kind of government leader about? Or is this just simply the government, never mind what the government's going to do, it's just the market?
Well, I think that what the government does is going to have an effect on the market. At the moment, with the rate drop that they gave us today, kind of unexpected, out of the blue, you would have thought that there would have been a more positive response. But what I think is happening is all of these extra measures scare people that much more. You know, that perhaps too much has been made of, are we going to have a recession? And they keep talking themselves into it.
Gene Rooks, portfolio manager for the Southern Women Investing Money, yes, that's Swim Club, in Gotha, Florida. Gene, thank you.
Thank you.
And now we turn to a professional. Earlier, I spoke with Ed Cofrancesco. He runs a stock brokerage in Orlando, Florida. I asked him what advice he's giving his clients.
We're telling our clients, stay the course. We thought the market was full of exuberance, and just like we felt the market was too high at 14,000, we believe that there has been emotional selling here, and that the market, as it touched 11.6 and possibly could go lower, it looks like at a 20% sell-off down to about 11,002, we saw the market as a screaming buy, and right now we see opportunities to buy for our clients.
Opportunities to buy. What are your clients telling you? Are they telling you, get me out of here?
No, again, our clients have gotten a consistent message from us over the years. We believe in diversification and asset allocation so that our clients are well educated and understand that the market often will react very emotionally, and that when you have these emotional reactions, it's time to look for good buying opportunities, and in the same token, reevaluate some of your positions, and maybe it's time to jettison some of your positions that are down, but there should not be a level of emotionalism that we see right now in the market.
So what do you say to someone who calls you up and says, I'm just watching my portfolio tank. What do I do?
Well, first of all, we will tell them that they should have listened to us all these months and had the diversification, and that we're in this as a marathon. This is not a sprint. As long as they win the race at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Well, what about for those people who are at the end of the day? They want to retire or they need to cash out?
Madeline, one of the things that we have to understand is someone that's about 65 years old right now and looking at retirement, given the tables of life expectancy that we have here in the United States, if you live to 65, there's a very good chance that you're going to live to 85. So again, we'd recommend to these people that it is still a marathon, it's not a sprint, and that you shouldn't be liquidating all your assets at 65 in good times, nor should you be liquidating at 65 all your assets in the bad times, that you need to keep earning money. The greatest threat to the average American at 65 years old here right now is not what's happening in the market today, but rather outliving their assets.
And would you say maybe you should look into things like buying gold or buying real estate or getting more heavily invested in the bond market?
Well, we're huge believers in the bond market, and we talk about the bond market all the time to our clients every day. We've been preaching the value of bonds for the last 6 or 8 months as the economic futures become less certain. But not just U.S. bonds. We see a lot of attractive foreign bonds that are paying big coupons and yet are issued by multinational or supranational companies or organizations.
Ed, you have been in this business for a long time. How does this current sell-off compare to previous financial crises?
I don't see the same imperative that I've seen in other economic sell-offs. In the same token, I'm seeing as much emotion, maybe more than most others, except maybe for the sell-off in 87, in the fall of 87. Although I think the underlying fundamentals of our economy are stronger than they were in other sell-offs, and there's less of an imperative to have this sell-off.
Ed Cofrancesco runs a stock brokerage firm in Orlando, Florida. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you so very much.
And on this financial story, we keep running into this term write down or write off. What exactly does that term mean? They used to puzzle over that on the Seinfeld show.
It's a write off for them.
How is it a write off?
They just write it off.
Write it off what?
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You don't even know what a write off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
Well, they may do, but we don't here at NPR either. So we turn to Dan Gross. He writes the Moneybox column for Slate.com to find out exactly what a write-down is and how it works.
A write-off is when you just have an expense that you can write off against your profits, like buying a new computer or a car. A write-down is when a company has to reduce the value of an asset. It could be a stock or a bond or a building or a company that it bought. For accounting purposes, you have to tell investors what all the stuff you own is worth. And when the world changes and the things are suddenly worth less, you have to tell investors that, and you have to tell your lenders and your banks that as well. And so what they do is write down, they reduce the value of an asset. So it could be, you know, say you bought a house for $500,000. But today it's only worth $400,000, according to the appraiser. You would have to write down the value of that house by $100,000. And that's precisely what's been going on at these huge investment banks, except they're writing down billions and billions and billions of dollars of houses and mortgages on those houses and weird securities related to those mortgages.
And thanks to Dan Gross, financial columnist for Newsweek and Slate.com, for that explainer.